Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. Tal Rebbe Zichron Livracha, so this moedig and beautiful meister. Tal Rebbe Zichron Livracha was a Yid who was very makpit on many chumras. And amongst his many chumras, he was like chassidim hakpod and not gebokt on Pesach. Not gebokt. Whilst the Mefarshim struggled to find exactly where the Mekor comes from, where does the Mekor come from, but it's a very, very well established chumra, hakpod, minik. Not with gebokt on Pesach. And Tana Rebbe was obviously also very makpid on that. He wouldn't gebokt on Pesach. Whilst he was once having for many years, he had quite a big entourage, a big olim coming to him, Balei Laseda. Tana Rebbe Zichron Livracha, grandfather of the current Tana Rebbe, he had once a Yekesh Yid by Leil HaSeder, Yekesh Yid. And we all know the Yekers are not makpid on gebokt. The Yekers eat gebokt. And this Yeker, who came to the Ton Rebbe, whatever the background to that is, I don't know, but he was eating amongst the many guests. He was eating by the Ton Rebbe. And very innocently, you go through the whole Magid, Matzah, Moroi, Kore, and he came to Shulchan Erech. Finally comes the hot soup, and very innocently, without knowing any different, takes his matzahs and he puts in the soup. Now you can imagine the screaming and shouting and yelling that took place. But the Heilige Ton Rebbe was, who could keep miles away from gebokt. And here, by his very table, on Leil HaSeder Mamash, a Yid would take innocently, and he put quite, you know, Leil HaSeder, you get hungry, you take matzahs and more matzahs and more matzahs, and he put in the soup. And he was, the screaming and yelling could be heard for quite. And they all and they were screaming. They all felt so embarrassed. They felt uncomfortable. Didn't know where to put themselves. And whilst all was taking place, the shrieking was taking place. This chometz mamash. By Tana Rebbe, says chometz mamash. I don't know where to do. What the kelim? What should they do? So the halacha is koyfer of zakli. If you find chometz on Pesach koyf, you have to cover the kli. You have to cover the kli. Koyfer of zakli. You have to cover the. You have to cover the chometz with the vessel. That they want to know. Need to cover the. The soup with a vessel. They wanted to cover this yid with a vessel as well. They didn't know where to put themselves. And once all this was taking place, they realized that the Ton Rebbe, in the meantime, calmly, gently, stretched out for matzah, took a matzah, and gently, he was breaking the matzah into little pieces and put it in his own soup. And they couldn't believe what's going on. They all froze in amazement and in shock. They didn't know what was going on, what's he doing over here? He's doing a box himself. And he couldn't, whilst they're all watching and staring and gazing at him, he was taking, was gently eating the soup. And they didn't know what was going on over here. What is going on? But obviously the answer was very poshut. The Ton Rebbe was taking eating a box. He took 8, not 9. And not only that, but when he finished the soup, he asked for a bit more and he ate a bit more. And they all understood that they all understood, in hindsight a little bit, they understood what the Rebbe was trying to teach over here. That it could be very, what's the message, of course? The message, of course, was that, you know, you may be machmir, it's very choshva chumra, it's very choshva minig, it's very precious minig indeed. But when you start screaming and yelling at others, then it's not worth the chumra. Take a chumra, take them all with pleasure, take them. But if you're ending up yelling at somebody who's turning red and pale and green in his face, chum is not worth anything. And that was the message Ton Rebbe wanted to teach. I think it's a moedig in Misod. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're up to Sim Reish Dalet. We're up to Seif Yud. Before proceeding though with Seif Yud, I saw an interesting Shaila earlier today. And the Shaila is the following Shaila. What do you think about this interesting case? A person who's not feeling well, I mean, more specifically, he's got a lot of pain in his throat. He's got a lot of pain in his throat, and it's hurting him to actually swallow. He's not currently enjoying food, but he needs to eat. Obviously, he needs to eat, because he needs to eat. But he's not really enjoying the food, because every swallowing that he does, it's hurting him. It's mamash hurting him. And the question that I saw a post came today asking is, what is the halacha with regards to brachas for this particular individual? We learned that a person who is forced to eat, the halacha is, somebody's forced to eat, remember the scenario yesterday with the gun, somebody's forced to eat something, the halacha is, he does not make a bracha, that's if ches, the remor. Nenas, im onsolech olalish, somebody's forced to eat and drink, you don't make a bracha. So what would be the halacha in this particular case? Does it resemble, is it comparable to this case of a yid who is forced. Yes, well, basically he's forced. He's eating because he needs to eat, but he's not really enjoying it. Does he make a bracha, yes or no?
No.
He does not make a bracha.
No benefit.
No benefit?
Yeah, it's
not.
He still makes
a bracha. Pardon? He's eating whatever. He's eating any food. He's having his hot soup. Whiskey, that's a good idea. So you're giving an eitzah. Should have. But will he, if he's not having his whiskey now, he's stomach eating his sandwich. He's not enjoying it. It's mamash hurting him. No, it's not to help him. Because he needs to eat. He's going to go. He's hungry. It's not a refuah. It's not a refuah. He's not eating. If you're talking refuah, I'm not talking refuah. I'm talking generally eating. General food. It's hurting him. He needs to eat. Well, he's going to go the whole day without eating. Although I read yesterday he was like half fasting. He's hungry now. What does he do?
He makes a bracha.
Makes a bracha or not?
It's not, yeah. You said
before with
water, when you don't make a bracha, you're not thirsty, it doesn't apply to food. So even if he's being forced to eat, if he's forced to drink, then it might be, you're right, then he wouldn't make a bracha. But eating food is different, you said previously, that's only a water,
yeah.
You wouldn't make a bracha.
Very interesting,
so
yeah.
Even if he's forced to drink, you should still make a bracha.
You're going very, very similar to what I saw the poskim today. So I saw that the poskim say he does make a bracha. So therefore, what are you saying? Therefore what?
He should
make a bracha on that. Yeah, well, you do need... The bracha is specific on swallowing. And the raya for that is, if somebody's got intravenous, he's not going to make a bracha, according to most poskim. Not a chai bracha, because it's the swallowing that you need. The bracha is on the swallowing. Hano, good, very good. Hano, very good. So the poskim say, we learned yesterday that somebody who achal mit meichel shel isim mit nasakona, you make a bracha. If somebody is in danger and he needs to eat, such as, let's say, a choyle on Yom Kippur, a choyle that is allowed to and has to eat on Yom Kippur, he makes a bracha. Why does he make a bracha? It's like Rabbi Feingold said. Because he needs to, he needs to eat now, so he needs to eat, so he's making, he may not enjoy it, he may not want, but ultimately he needs to eat. So similarly, this case over here now, it's not mamash sakona, but it's quite similar to that. He's got anor from it, and therefore, the halacha is, he may not enjoy the swallowing, but ultimately he's getting anor from the food, he should make a bracha, and that's the halacha. So that's how the poskim that I saw paskin that he actually does a bracha is required for this particular scenario. We're up to Seif Yud Rabbi side page 2-2-4 Seif Yud. Tvash Dvoirim is talking about honey of bees. Honey. Haru Keshad Vash is like any other honey. And the only bracha you make on it, Ela Shakol, is going to be Shakol. You don't make any other brachas on honey. If you have a bit of honey, yeah, you eat honey like this, you make Shakol. Now, obviously, what other bracha would you make on it? Oh, very good. Why is that? Absolutely. Where does honey come from? That's right, which comes from the... So you would have thought that probably the right bracha would be for honey. You would have thought that bracha would be... Oh, that's already the Kamash Malan. That's already the answer. But what would have been the Haramina? That it comes from... Yeah, but you're all right. You would have thought that it comes from flowers. Pollen, you would have thought that it comes from flowers. Dvash comes from honey, comes from the... So that's what... But Lemaisa, you're right. Lemaisa, the Baruch is the Shulchan Aruch says, it's Shakol. We don't look at it so far. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan, Nun... Or Seif Katan Mem Tes rather, Dvash Dvorim, Tov Bichlal, Dovar She'en Giduloi Min Haaretz, it's considered something which does not grow from the ground. Haru Keshad Dvash, Seif Katan Nun, Denizbar B'Simen Reish Bei Seif Res, as we learned in Simen Reish Bei Seif Res, Temvar Chalav Shakoil, you make Shakoil in it, and that's the halacha, you make Shakoil. I'm skipping one line exactly. The Afal Gav, that Dvorim Achnisim, Mei Peroiz Leisoich Gufon, who moitzes in my hand when it is in Asad Vash.
say, although that the bees, they take some peiros, they take some of that juice into their bodies, and it's being sucked out and it becomes vash. Nevertheless, the juice of the pollen is not identifiable in the honey, and the main peiros, the fruit aspect of the honey, is not identifiable, is not recognizable. Therefore, the halacha is going to be shahakol on any honey. We are ready for Sif Yud Aleph. Chabushim, oy griandash, oy vrodim. These are all types of flowers, Rabbosai. And vrodim, the last one, are roses. Veshamine peirois and any other fruit. Veasovim and grasses. So we're talking about flowers and types of grasses. She merakrin bedvash. They are basically, well, they're fried in honey. Fancy that. Take a rose. Pardon? Yeah, basically, that's right, yeah. Yeah. So you're taking roses, and you add sugar, and you fry it. Okay. Ha-peres va-asovim hem-ika, the fruit and those grasses, or those flowers, hem-ika is the main thing. Va-advash tofel, and the honey is tofel. So you if you take those, imagine take a rose, and you fry it with honey. Fancy that? No. So the halacha is, that if you want to know in terms of brachas, and the halacha is, it's a Panda's catering course, offers caramelized roses. Yeah. So, hem ikka v'advash tofel. The halacha is that the peiros is the ikka, and the asom is ikka v'advash tofel. V'afilu hem k'tushim b'yoisa, even if it's ground, mamash grounded it properly, the bracha that you make is boirei pri ho'et, because you're looking at it from the main food is the fruit or the asovim or the flowers. That's the main thing. The caramelized, the sugary, as the honey aspect to it, is tofel is not the main thing. And you're gonna, if it's grass, you make a boirei adoma. If it's flowers, you're gonna make boirei pri ho'et. Shel vrodim boirei adoma. If it's rose, boirei adoma. V'chol mi'akachas. Any medical, or it looks like those fruits you'd actually mainly eat for medical purpose or side purpose, it appears. If people don't eat this anyway, they only eat it for medical purpose, primarily for medical purpose. So we're learning over there is basically two halachas. It's the Shulchan Aruch's halacha and it's the Ramah's halacha. The Shulchan Aruch's halacha is if you're having any peiros that are added with, that are fried with honey, then you look at the main food, you're not looking at the honey, which is shakol, you're looking at the main food, which is the o'eitz, you make o'eitz on it. Similarly, if they're made with roses or with flowers, and they're adding honey to eat it, to make it more edible. Again, the halacha is, you don't look at the honey because it's tofel, you look at the main item, which is o'eitz or adom, and that's what you're going to make a bracha on. So the fact that it's caramelized, I like your nusach, Moshe, thank you very much. The fact that it's caramelized, You still don't make the bracha on the tofel. You make the bracha on the ik. You don't look at the sugar aspect of it. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah adds a little point, and the Ramah says that actually, whenever you're eating something for medical purpose, don't worry about what exactly where it comes from, what it is. You make shakol, whatever it is. You make shakol. It's interesting that the poskim over here going to a discussion. This very seif is the discussion of the sugar, or rather, chocolate coated. No, I'm not talking about wafers, I'm talking about nuts. Various nuts are covered with chocolate. For instance, that would be a good example. Yeah, raisins. Chocolate-covered raisins. You see, it doesn't help me, it doesn't convince me to have raisons. It doesn't convince me. It does convince you? Oh, okay, good, fine, okay. So, the shaila is, if you've got chocolate-covered or nuts, I think, let's talk about nuts as well. They've got all raisins. Yeah, raisins are the same thing. And they're chocolate coated. So, almonds, that's right. What will be the bracha then? Why? Oh, so that's right. So that is a very interesting shaila. Not all the poets can look at it the same way. Some will look at it. You ask this individual, what is it they're having really? Is it the chocolate? And it's just the head to have the chocolate. You have like a raisin inside it just to make you feel better. Is it really the chocolate you're eating? And the raisin or the nut inside it is just like the side thing? Or, actually no, what you're really looking at is a raisin. What you really want to have is the nut inside it. And the chocolate around is just mamash a toffle to make it a little bit more sweet, a little bit more. And so that, depending on that, on your intention, some poskim can look at your intention. What is generally your intention? Depending on that, you can make a different bracha. Either that. Others look at it, mamash not, they look at the cover, at the coat around it, it's always going to be a toffle. Some poskim can say that if you've got coating around it, that's always going to be a toffle. And you're always going to make the bracha on what remains on the central piece, on the central element. And that's, the bracha is going to be on that. So you've got machlokes apoiskim. I saw one of the poiskim, I don't know what you think about it. They say you should go for shahakol, suck the chocolate, take out the nut, and make then the appropriate bracha. Not sure if in the, it's not a British poisik. I don't know if it's not British poisik. So I don't know if in England that's acceptable. And the truth is, I'm not even sure it's necessary. I wonder what do you think about it? Don't need it, huh? You don't need to go that far. How would you think about it? You make shakel, you suck the chocolate, take it out, and then you make the hoitz. What do you think about that? No, it wouldn't go. Pardon? Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah. Yes, I don't think that we have to go so far. You probably have to decide if you want to go according to Ikar Tofel approach or according to your own intention approach. But, right, that's something to take into consideration as well. I think it's an interesting approach in the poskim. We are ready now for Sefer Yud Beis, which is a totally new subject coming out from Sefer Yud Aleph, but it's still a new subject as far as Shakol is concerned. Sefer Yud Beis teaches us the following halacha. Kol Shil Ikar, it's mamish the words of a Mishnah in Brachas. Whenever you've got the Ikar, the imoy tfeila, and with it you have got a side component. You've got an ikar and a toffel. Mevorech al o ikar, you make a bracha on the ikar. The poite, and you exempt as a tfeila the side element. So the Shulchan Aruch is now giving us a massive chiddush. Don't you tell me that you need to mamash a massive chiddush. Don't you tell me that you need to make a bracha on every single thing they're putting in your mouth. No. There will be at times things that are covered, that are exempt by a main dish. So that's a big chiddush. We're going to see some examples. But sometimes you don't make a bracha on foods because it's a side dish, which is a massive chiddush. If you think about it, it's mind-boggling really, because it comes out you don't make a bracha on everything. There's going to be side dishes that are included in the main dish, and therefore you don't make a bracha on the side dish. It's a big chiddush, really. If you think about it, it's a big chiddush. So he says as follows: Mevoich al ha'ikar, you make a bracha on the ikar, on the main. Vepoite, and you exempt is at fellow the side element. What are the examples? Now the examples themselves are huge chiddushim, because the kol davar shem arvin oisul edavik boy. So the example that the Shulchan Aruch says is kol davar, everything shem arvin oisul edavik. If you're using a substance to stick the food together, oi o kedeliten reach, to give it a nice smell, oi kedelitzpoy atavshel, or to give it some coloring, to change its color, to make it a more appetizing color. Harizut felo, this is a tofel, this is a side thing. But if he mixed additional foods, kidei in order litain tam betaroyves, if food was added as giving it more taste, harizu ikar, that is an ikar. So Rabbi said, this is quite a sif over here. We're learning the following halacha. Ikar and tofel, you make a bracha on the ikar and you don't make a bracha on the tofel. Examples given are when you're using a food to stick the food together. What could be an example for that?
Sandwiches.
Oh, you're going into a controversial area now. You're going into a controversial area. Minefield. Yeah, okay, the truth is you're right. But let's hold on a minute. You're all right, but let's hold on for a minute. What would be a typical case? I mean, he's talking about... That would be an interesting case. Well, is that to stick it together or is it to give it time? Yes, so that's right. It's true, I think it's true. But I think that, okay, let's see what Shulchan Aruch's typical case is. He says, Lefichach, therefore, minei dvash, if you've got honey, shemavash lim oisnoi, they're cooked. And there's like wheat moisture, if you're creating sweets, you're using some sort of liquid to make, to stick it together. The side of the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that if you've got, the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is very radical, that Ikar and Tofel is defined not by taste, but Ikar and Tofel is defined by if you're giving it, if it's added a dabik boy to stick it together, or to give it a smell or color, that is considered the Tofel. Nothing to do with taste. Shulchan Aruch's opinion is, if you're colorings, you add a bit of colorings, do you ever add colorings in your food? A bit of colorings? Yeah, imagine you put a bit of coloring to make it a nicer food. It looks nicer. You know, it makes it looks nicer. So that will be considered a Tofel. What's that? Where are you? That's right. So Shulchan Aruch's case of Tofel that is becomes bottling, don't make a brach on it, is only if it's because of smell, or because of solidifying it, or because of smell or coloring, then it's considered tofel. However, if you're adding it, if it's adding taste, you'd actually make a brach on it. The gravy, according to that, yeah, it's adding taste. I don't know if it's an ikka, but it would be an ikka enough that it would make a bracha. Well, no, it could be that you don't need to make a separate bracha. Could be you don't need to make a separate bracha. But if you'd have two different brachas, you would have to have a separate bracha. He's talking about ikir and tofel. Is it tofel? Is it nitfel? Let's carry on with the Ramah to have clarity. Because you see the Ramah comes out. Says the Ramah, v'nire, toha im erev kidelitein tam betarov eshu ikka. That if you added another food, in order to add taste to the tarovish, which is ikam, that if there's mamoshes, proper mamoshes, it's substance, if the additional item has got substance and it gives taste, and is an important addition, then that will be something it deserves its own bracha. But psomim, spices which are added into the food to give it additional, well, spicy taste. This is also added for additional taste. You won't make a brach on that. So here you've got an example that it's giving you taste. It's not for coloring, it's not for smell, it's for taste. Spices for taste, but it's so non-substantial that it still is considered a tofel. And mevorach nalem, you don't make a brach on it. The betelim bemiutan, it's bottle bemiut, afal pishenois in tam, although it gives taste. Lochein, therefore, no again, the custom is, shlevorach rak al mekachas ol apsomim sheben, you don't make a brach if it's on the spicy, etc. It's a side element, you don't make a brach on it. Very interesting. Rabbi Kagan Shaila. You have got a what is it? That's a really interesting Shaila. You have got a thick chocolate sauce which is added onto apple crumble. So let's say the apple crumble would be Mazzoni's kind of apple crumble, let's say. And now you've got a very thick chocolate sauce which normally would be a shahakoil. But the chocolate sauce itself is chocolate, it's shahakoil. And now it's adding to give. It's mamoshes. According to the Ramah, what bracha would you make on this chocolate? Would you make a separate bracha or not? So we're learning that if it's spices or that kind of thing, it's bottle bemute. It's bottle bemute, and you don't make a bracha on it because it's bottle bemute. It's adding taste, but it's bottle bemute. You don't make a bracha. But with this scenario, Rabbi Kagan's case, it's clearly a case that it's not bottled. How can it be bottled? It's a proper substantial. You're not going to go. I'm saying it's a proper thing. Do you make a brach on it, yes or no?
No,
you don't? According to Ramah, you would?
It depends if you eat it together or not.
Yeah, so if you're eating it together, then you wouldn't make a brach. It's still considered.
If one dish and it goes on a spoon, then one brach. But if it's. If you would generally eat it separately, then maybe two brach.
You would eat it separately anyway. You still have some bits left over. The chocolate, the crumble is gone. So you still have another plate of chocolate.
Yeah. The part that you would lick, nobody looks, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then you have to make a bracha then.
You make a bracha. Okay, then the Mishnah, the emphasis is, that is a very interesting order, and we'll need the Mishnah to clarify this. The Mishnah Berurah says that says the Mishnah Berurah. That's mamash an eye opener. This Mishnah Berurah and very important in this seif. It's Sifkot Nun Ches. Although Sifkot Nun Zan is important as well, but we're going to prioritize Nun Ches. Nun Ches says Sheish Mamoshes. Mamoshes. He's going to identify now and define what is Mamoshes. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Lefias Komas Achoinim Kenis Kalel. This is based on earlier. You saw it. Af Piyish Mamoshes. When we said Mamoshes deserves its own bracha, substance deserves its own bracha. Lo Elazim B'Tavayu Rak Baser Ruba. You don't go according to Mamoshes per se. Rak Baser Ruba only when you've got roif. So in your case, in Rabbi Kagan's case of the chocolate sauce, which actually makes me quite hungry, that particular case, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you will still not make a bracha. Yes. It's giving you taste. Yes, it's something mamoshes dik. You still don't make bracha because if it's basar roif, you're looking basar roif. What's the roif? It is. Therefore, it will still be considered a miut, and you will not make a bracha on it because you're looking at the food, the chiddush that says over here, even if it's giving you taste, it's a miut. It's a miut. And because it's a miut, Mishnah Berurah tells me you only make a bracha on a roif and not on a miut. It's, I don't know if it's choylek. You're definitely choylek on the Shulchan Aruch. You mean also on the Rama? I do not know if he's explaining the Rama or slightly choylek on the Rama. What's your feeling? Could be. I'm not sure it's choylek because it could be that that's how he defines mamoshes. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's probably choylek. Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably choylek. It's probably choylek that you don't go. You don't go according to. You don't go. If something just gives you taste, it's not sufficient reason to make a bracha. He needs to be the roif. He needs to be a substantial. Now, I don't know if he goes according to 51%, 49%. I don't think he goes like that. I think he goes to, you're looking at that dish and you tell me what is really the main thing over here. What's, in reality, what's going on over here? What are you eating? So even if you're cheating and you're having loads of that chocolate sauce, nevertheless, I think you're not going to make, if it's 51% chocolate sauce, yeah, I don't think you're going to have a shakel over here. You're still going to make it according to the official main dish over here. So it's a very interesting case. Good. Rabbi Sai, just to recap what we covered tonight. We spoke initially about the dvash dvoirim, that is a shakol. Any honey is a shakol. We spoke about food which are fried, like hoetzes or adomos, which are fried with sugar. You still make the appropriate bracha with it, hoetz or adomo. You don't go according to the sugar element of it, which is shakol. Because you go according to Ikka and not according to the Tofel. We spoke about medicines, you make Sha'akul on it, if it's purely for medical purpose. We spoke about Ikka and Tofel rule, and we initially spoke about if it's something that just gives you color or just gives you taste, if it just gives you color or just smell, either way you don't make a brach on it. Ramah continues and goes a step further, and he says you only make if it's giving you a lot of taste. If it's giving you a lot of taste, you'd potentially make a brach on it. It's not Ikka Tofel. But the Mishnah Berurah tells us that it goes according to Roiv and Miut, and only if it's a Roiv, you make a brach on the Roiv, because that's the Ikka and not on the Miut, which is Tofel. Okay, Rabbi Sai, and we'll finish off the Seif next week. I wish you all a good Shabbos.